morning, and thank you for joining us online today for worship, August 2nd, and getting ready to hit the road, camping. Enjoy. Longest long weekend, but we're not quite ready to go yet. We're going to do some camping later in August. We are looking forward to joining back at worship again at the church later in September when our reopening committee gets everything ready to be safe for us to be there, and certainly want to continue to be in prayer during this time when we're not together. If you can, download the bulletin in the order of worship for today off our website or email from the church office. If you know of someone who doesn't have online access, give us a call or an email at the office. We'll make sure they get a snail mailing, which comes out every 2 weeks. That also includes printed copies of the messages, so for those folks who aren't online, at least they can follow along. This week, we're inviting you to use your camera or cell phone to make a short video, 1 minute or less, and tell us how you have been seeing God provide for these days. Maybe you've learned something new, perhaps you've changed your routines, and in some way that helps you to grow in faith. If there are older kids, get a hold of your grandparents and ask them the question. Make a video of them and send it to us by August 10th. We're going to have our virtual sharing service on August 16th, so send those videos in. Lots of other good things happening. Check the bulletin for information and details. Please note also that Pastor Nick continues his parental leave, and we want to wish him and his family an enjoyable quality time together. For the month of August, our worship service series is based on the wilderness experience as described in the book of Exodus. You're invited to read chapters 15 to 20 in preparation and reflection, and today's theme is worship in the wilderness. The story I'll pick up later comes from Exodus 15, so you may want to read the whole chapter there, but it describes the celebration of the Israelite slaves who escaped from Egypt and successfully have crossed the Red Sea. They've had a great celebration being liberated, but it didn't take long for the realities of desert wandering to dry out their enthusiasm. Sitting in the dust of harsh desert wilderness, their memories of back home in Egypt were pretty tempting to return to. While we're not sure how our church worship is going to look like in the future, there will be some changes that we'll have to deal with. So today we're asking, where is God in the midst of our experiences? How can we express our faith and worship while dealing with the demands of change during these times? In preparation, I invite you to reflect with me as I read from Psalm 145. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation comments on your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of your glorious splendor, your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your deeds. They celebrate your great goodness, your abundant goodness, and joyful singing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. I invite you to join with me in prayer. Gracious God, when life knocks me off balance, I reach out to grab hold of anything that might keep me upright. Remind me again, when Jesus began his mission of salvation, that he sought the isolation of time in the wilderness to connect with you. Help me to learn of Jesus, to navigate the turmoil of these days. I pray these things in his name. Amen. You're invited to sing or listen along to the song 10,000 Reasons. It's in the order of service, and there should be a link there to a website to follow along. So 10,000 Reasons. Let's sing together. Like everyone else, Silver Lake Mennonite Camp near Sauble Beach is doing things differently this year, and they're offering camp at home. We have a short video to help you understand what they're doing and opportunities for you to join in.
As you probably know, we can't have camp at Silver Lake this year.
But we're so excited to bring camp traditions and new fun activities online.
And you can participate from the comfort of your own home.
We start off the day with some fun camp games. Then we sing some songs.
Bananas unite!
And do the morning reflection to wrap up the morning. After that, we split off into cabin groups where we get to know our cabin mates and counselors, play some more games, and do all of our favorite camp sessions, such as nature.
Welcome to nature.
I'm Kat.
I'm Lorena.
And today for nature, we're going to do an activity called Get to Know Your Tree.
Crafts and initiative.
We then end the day all together with more fun camp songs.
Every Thursday, we have a campfire with skits.
Hello, this is your captain speaking. There is absolutely no cause for alarm.
And of course, more camp songs.
I will serve you anytime. I will serve you any day.
Can't wait to see you all at camp at home.
It will be a camp experience like no other.
When we gather at the church building, most often it's for what we call a worship service. There are really two parts to a worship service, the gathering and the scattering. Our gathering is when we share something with God. We sing songs of faith, we hear from Scripture, we offer prayers, we listen to the preacher talk about encounters with Scripture and daily life. Then our scattering is when we leave the church building to share something of God with others. And both of these become our worship. So now I invite you to bow with me in prayer. God of my beginning and ending, I wake in the morning hours aware of your gift of the day. I begin to wonder what you have in store. Help me to pay attention to your creative work in my life and the lives of those I meet. Throughout the day, give me grace to listen to others as you hear my prayers. Give me willingness to forgive as you have forgiven me. Grant me hope that from the harsh things that happen, your Spirit's work of healing will renew love. And when the day is ended, may I rest in you, knowing that you are caring and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. Now hear my prayers as I hold before you family, neighbors, community, and the world that you have created. For these things we pray.
Today I am reading from Exodus 15, verses 18 to 21, from the New Revised Standard Version. The Lord will reign forever and ever. When the horses of Pharaoh, with his chariots and his chariot drivers, went into the sea, the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then the prophet Miriam, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her, with tambourines and with dancing. And Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea."
Back in March, when the coronavirus began its rapid spread across the world, my wife Renata and I had just arrived in Uruguay, South America. We went there to visit with extended family and wanted to record stories of the family's early days in that country. The week after we arrived, we listened to Prime Minister Trudeau strongly encouraging Canadians to return home before the coronavirus prevented international travel. We checked into an early return, and yet our options weren't necessarily any good. The second week of our three-week intended vacation, all the flights in and out of the country were canceled, the borders were closed, and we became stranded in a foreign land. We spent most of our stranded time with a cousin's family on a remote farm. We were very aware of how seriously people of Uruguay were abiding by the lockdown measures imposed by health and political leaders. When we were finally able to arrange for our trip home, it was an ordeal. Though relatively short in duration of time for our travel, it was somewhat of a wilderness journey through virus-infected lands filled with risks and uncertainties. Upon arriving home, our two-week isolation requirement was not much of a hardship at all, but rather an opportunity for us to rest and recover from our experience. Over the past 5 months, the world, as we have known it, has changed. Entire segments of the economy have been devastated, while other niche businesses have burst upon the scene to respond to new demands. The harsh reality is that many of us have had our incomes reduced, and in some cases eliminated. Our patterns of spending have been severely curtailed. July and August are the height of typical holiday season, yet this year many people are having a stay vacation at home. The hospitality and travel industries have been grounded. Essential services in healthcare and education have been overworked with new realities of learning how to do their essential work differently. Grocery store and retail businesses have been forced to reconfigure how they do business. And one of the most astounding, harsh realities is for children of parents who live in long-term care facilities, who cannot visit their loved ones, or if they do, they must do so at a distance without that loving touch of a hug. As a society, we have quickly learned who essential workers are and who are optional entertainers. Interesting in terms of what we value, that essential workers are typically paid the least, while optional workers are often paid, well, much more. Events of the past few months have plunged us into a wilderness of isolation, and for many, deep despair. The Bible reading shared with us by Sandra is a brief window into the immense drama of God's deliverance. For generations, Egypt had been accustomed to depending upon the slave labor, including that of the Hebrew people, for the building of their massive monuments. According to the early chapters of Exodus, the Hebrew people, the Israelites, became refugees fleeing famine in their homeland of Palestine and sought refuge of relief in Egypt. After the long famine was over, the Egyptian hosts despised their Hebrew guests and eventually enslaved them. From their suffering, God heard the cry of the Hebrews. With the leadership of Moses, God inflicted the Egyptians with the 10 plagues and then liberated them with the escape through the Red Sea. After all that miraculous work of God's doing, the story of Exodus says, the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and Moses, his servant. The reading from Exodus 14. Whenever people are liberated from violence, from oppression, from injustice, from tyranny, there's cause for celebration. When Pharaoh finally told the Hebrews to go, they grabbed what they could and carried it and fled the violence and fear of slavery's confines, leaving everything else behind. Then Pharaoh changed his mind, sending his army after them. For the Israelites, the fear of Pharaoh's punishment was greater than their fear of stepping into unknown waters. Having arrived safely on dry ground, their excitement of escape was greater than the prospects of the fear for what the desert wilderness might hold for them. Seeing the bodies of Pharaoh's dead soldiers floating ashore, the liberated slaves broke out into a happy dance of celebration. Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea. This is the song Miriam, the prophetess, led the people in. The reading the Bible story, I find it interesting that the person leading this worship celebration is Miriam, Aaron's sister. Earlier in the Exodus story, we learn that Moses and Aaron were brothers, yet for some reason the text here describes Miriam not as Moses' sister, but as Aaron's. Given that everyone joins in the worship singing and the dancing, it seems that Miriam was well known by the people as they readily follow her leadership in praise to what God has done to rescue them. In Mennonite circles, there are several Exodus-type stories. One of them happened in December of 1929. Thousands of Mennonites from the Ukraine colonies had gathered in Moscow to plead for their release. Eventually, less than one-third of them were granted permission to leave, and so they were among the last to escape Stalin's rule of communism. With what they could carry, these families were loaded into cattle cars of a train and headed west. The train stopped within sight of the border gate to Latvia and freedom. The stop was to allow the Russian soldiers to make rounds once more to collect whatever valuables the refugees might still have in their possession. After sitting and agonizing for hours, the train slowly pulled forward and passed under the gate and into freedom. The people in those smelly railway rattle-trap cars broke out into song. Nun dankent alek Gott. Now thank we all our God. A hymn of praise and thanksgiving. Not exactly the singing and dancing as described in the Exodus story, but no less significant. In the overwhelming gratitude to God for his deliverance. Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The first part of Miriam's song looks back at what God has done. It celebrates God having victory over Pharaoh. The second part of the song describes what is yet to follow. It celebrates a commitment to God as Israel's leader and king. Somehow I suspect that after the singing and dancing had faded away, a bit of reality began to sink in. Yes, the Israelites were free from slavery, but now they were in a barren wilderness. They no longer had to worry about making bricks of mud and straw. Yet, neither did they have access to a ready food supply, shelter from the dry desert winds. In the wilderness of life, when reality begins to sink in, one's focus becomes narrowed on the practical aspects of surviving. Last March, when we were stranded in Uruguay, far from home, we were in the safety of our cousins' care. While we were not in any danger per se, neither could we travel home as we had anticipated. Realities of the wilderness experience created feelings of a lostness of sorts, and about the only thing you can do when lost is to sit and think. During our unexpected 6-week ordeal, my wife and I had time to sit and think. We were on a dairy farm. While the milking took place at another farmyard, it was like clockwork when we heard the calves at times of the day in the yard, calling for food, demanding to be fed. We also watched cows in a distant pasture, grazing, and then moving from one area to another. I've had opportunities over the years to observe dairy cows, and it's interesting to notice how certain times of the day the herd will move from one location to another, typically with the same cow in the lead, and they do so in a single file line. In a pasture, it's not hard to notice. When the herd moves from A to B, they not only follow single file, but they also use the same path day after day, several times a day even. Watching the daily routine of the cow herd, I began to recognize some familiar patterns. Kind of like my driving from A to B on a regular basis. The cow herd travels the shortest distance, expending the least amount of energy so as to be as most efficient as possible. Smart animals. Traveling by car, I typically map out in my head the shortest route, fewest possible stops, and the least amount of traffic. When I have to cross the Welland Canal from Niagara on the Lake to St. Catharines, my plans also consider the possibility of a bridge being up, and if so, for how long. It determines which way I go. Traveling across a pasture using the same well-worn path, cows can see where they put each step. And doing so, they avoid any possible danger. Leaving a well-worn, well-known path, a journey can become a little unpredictable. It's about making choices. And making choices means one has to travel at a slower pace and stay extra vigilant. Leaving behind the safe, predictable, well-known routines of life can be enormously disrupting for fear of danger. Becoming lost on a journey geographically or perhaps even spiritually can be extremely unsettling. When traveling from A to B, becoming lost, especially when there's a time frame to meet, can become very frustrating. Or, if time isn't an issue, becoming lost becomes a bit of an adventure, a new discovery of places unseen before. Spiritually, becoming lost and questioning one's groundings can lead to a confusion of identity, or questioning of faith can lead to a deeper identity, a deeper understanding, more convincing embrace of one's place in God's world. In matters of faith and worship, attempting something off the well-worn path or different from the well-known routine leaves one vulnerable to change. Reflecting on our vulnerability, like Israel leaving slavery of Egypt for wandering into the wilderness, writer Barbara Brown Taylor says, "If you do not start choosing to get lost in some fairly low-risk situations, then how will you ever manage when one of life's big wins knocks you clean off course?" As a child, I remember being told to play outside, which was without any form of supervision for hours on end. Before I was a teenager, I stepped further and took the adventure of bicycle trips lasting for the better part of a day without a map and certainly without GPS. As a teenager, my adventures expanded to backpacking for several days at a time, long before cell phones became a lifeline. Stranded in a foreign country? Stressful? Or an adventure? Brown Taylor goes on to imply that allowing oneself to be lost in low-risk ways is a good teaching tool for the skills of managing panic, marshaling your resources. Being lost offers the opportunity to take a good look around to see where you are and what this unexpected development has to offer. Biblically and spiritually, God does some of God's best work with people who are truly and seriously lost. When the Hebrew slaves cried out to God for help, and Pharaoh finally said, "Go," they were happy to leave. They didn't have time to work out the details. They just went, assuming that the God who liberated them would also lead them. Back in March, when the coronavirus pandemic invaded our lives and the world, we didn't have time to work out the details of how we would live life differently or how we would gather as a Christian community for worship. At a deeper level, the Exodus story tells us the movement of Israel geographically from Egypt to Mount Sinai. There they became a movement from Pharaoh's lordship to the lordship of God. Exhausted from fleeing Egypt, panicked by Pharaoh's pursuing soldiers, crossing the sea, and then seeing Pharaoh's army floating dead in the waters. The Exodus story describes a great battle between God and Pharaoh. Interesting that Israel did not participate in the fighting at all. God alone defeated Pharaoh through both miraculous and natural means. Many tyrants and nations, while believing themselves to be on the way to autonomous and supreme power and glory, are actually carrying out God's judgment on sin, a judgment that will include their own downfall. This is most evident in the account of Jesus, who apparently was defeated on the cross, when actually the cross became God's victory over the powers that sought to bring about his death. Once you leave a cow path, the way forward becomes unpredictable, full of danger, and perhaps a new adventure. For our journey with the coronavirus, we're not there yet. Rather than doing our happy dance for having survived the perils of illness or even death, we're more like being in the stage of wandering through the divided Red Sea. With trepidation, we've stepped into the deep waters of isolation, and we're looking desperately for dry ground. We've been astounded in our loneliness, looking up at the high walls of water, wondering if we will ever get through this perilous situation, doubtful if we'll ever again set foot on dry, solid ground and be together again. Will we ever be able to worship again like we used to? In some ways, there's no going back. No going back to how we used to do things. For when we gather once again as a community of faith for worship, we will need to trust that God, who delivered us in the past, will lead us in a new future. For these things, we hope and pray for a new understanding, new discoveries of faith, new understandings of being Christian community in the name of Christ. I invite you to share with me in prayer. God, I long to be in relationship with others. And while at times being with others can be annoying, there's also so much joy, meaning, and significance in being together. Bless the family to which I belong with peace and health. Bless my faith family with grace and compassion for these days. Be with our leaders, health providers, and political servants for wisdom in guiding our community. Be with our spiritual care leaders for wellness and wholeness that we all seek for the living of these days. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who lived, who died, who rose again, and ascended to heaven with the promise to return. We wait in his grace. Amen. Say, thank you for joining us today. And in closing, I invite you to the song, O For a Thousand Tongues to Sing, song of gathering, song of hope that one day we will again be able to sing together. O For a Thousand Tongues, either from your order of service or use the link to watch and listen to the music. God's blessing of peace be with you. Amen.